Hi, this is Qasim Malik of Gala Film, where we're pioneering the future of cinema through blockchain innovation. You're tuned in to The Edge of NFT, pioneering entertaining content for creators and audiences alike at the edge of Gala. Keep listening.
Hi, NFT curious listeners. Stay tuned for today's episode to learn why Gala is set to revolutionize the film industry by breaking down the traditional barriers in film entertainment with its free, high-quality content.
And why their premiere show, Razor, is going to be breaking boundaries in both cinema and blockchain.
And finally, how you can run your own virtual theater and choose what shows up on the screen.
It's another exploration at the edge of Gala, so grab your popcorn and cue the intro.
Welcome to the Edge of NFT, the podcast that brings you the top 1% of Web3 today and what will stand the test of time. We explore the nuts and bolts of the business side and also the human element of how Web3 is changing the way we interact with the things we love. This podcast is for the dreamers, disruptors, and doers who are pumped about this ecosystem and driving where it goes next.
Welcome to the Edge of NFT, the podcast created by Jeff Kelly, Ethan Jenny, and Josh Krieger, featuring a variety of top-notch guests and other hosts like myself, Richard Carthon. It's another production of The Edge of Company, a quickly growing media ecosystem empowering the pioneers of Web3 tech and culture, and responsible for other groundbreaking endeavors like the Outer Edge LA Innovation Festival. Welcome back to our special new reoccurring segment, Edge of Gala, where we're catching up with the team of Gala every month, given the breadth and depth of the special growing ecosystem. For those who don't already know, Gala Film is a pioneering platform in the decentralized cinema sector, blends traditional filmmaking with blockchain technology, and offers a unique watch-to-earn experience. It empowers artists and audiences with features like NFT ownership and node operations, revolutionizing content distribution and audience engagement, and paving the way for the new era in Web3 entertainment.
This regular segment is sponsored by our friends at Gala, the world-leading Web3 entertainment company that's reshaping the future of entertainment with blockchain technology. Gala's journey began in 2019 when they launched Gala Games, and since then they've expanded their horizons to include Gala Music and Gala Film. Empower content creators and emerging talent by returning creative licenses and providing a direct connection to their audience, offering genuine involvement in innovative projects.
Today, we'll focus on some exciting updates around Gala with our guest, Qasim Malik, who is the co-founder of Grasshopper and Gala Film product strategist. He merges cinema with blockchain, and with a background with Accenture and IBM, he is steering Gala Film toward reshaping the film industry through innovative decentralized solutions. His experience in product management and Web3 strategies provides a unique position in advancing Gala's mission to revolutionize entertainment and the audience engagement. Let's get started.
Hey, Qasim.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Can't complain. Where are you joining us from?
I'm joining out of Toronto, Canada. So just north of the border.
All right.
Yeah, it's quite a sunny day out here, you know. I'm glad to see it in March. Usually there's like 3 or 4 feet of snow, so you're not going to hear a complaint from me.
Very cool. Speaking of snow, I am joining the show instead of LA, out of Boston. I'm here for my girlfriend's brother's 40th birthday party, and I guess by the time this show airs, it won't be a surprise that we're going dog sledding tomorrow in Maine. So I'm really excited to check that off the bucket list.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Have you been?
I haven't, actually. You know what? I don't go south of the border too much. More recently, you know, we've had an offsite in California. So I'm back and forth there, but I've never been to Boston. I would love to go. I know it's a major sports town. Not a huge Boston Celtics fan, but, you know, I might go down there one day.
Oh, man, it's going to be terrible then when they win the playoffs this year, finally. So,
yeah. I don't know about that. I don't know. Maybe we'll catch up in a couple months and see. Well, Toronto Raptors aren't doing all that well this year, so I shouldn't be the one to talk, I guess.
Yeah, well, we have a long legacy, but I think our time is due again. We'll see how it goes. But just to flip the subject, this is a Web3 podcast, so I guess we should talk about Web3 for a little while.
A quick word from our sponsors who's ready to navigate the cutting edge of tomorrow's legal landscape. Because at Zuber Lawler, they're not just attorneys, they're visionaries. With expertise in emerging technologies like AI, blockchain, and the metaverse, they're paving the way for you to seize the future. For mergers and acquisitions to IP, their selective team delivers strategic solutions tailored to the ever-changing world of technology. Join us at Zuberlawler, where the future meets the law, at zuberlawler.com. Back to the episode.
So, you know, you similar to actually my background, you come from consulting and sort of ventured into strategizing Web3 products at Gala. It's a pretty big leap. Some people ask me, how did you go from consulting to entrepreneurship to Web3? And I guess I have the same question for you.
Yeah, I think Web3 has like this inherent entrepreneurship aspect. You know, I was with IBM and Accenture for quite some time. I developed a keen interest for the blockchain space, I would say, in about 2018, and more so in 2020, where I started to sort of theorize the practical use cases of blockchain. Initially, my interest was in Gala Games. At the time, you know, games was the only vector or sector that we were pursuing. And I think the handshake between the blockchain in games and in-game ownership of assets was a very obvious sort of thesis that I was behind. And so that led to a more curious endeavor in reaching out to Gala in really trying to shape the future of somebody who plays games. I knew for a fact that the future is going to move towards tokenization of in-game ownership. As somebody who had played a lot of games and lost a lot of the assets when I no longer played those games, I knew that there has to be a way to retain value in your gameplay, in your time and sweat that you invest into a game. So that use case led to me developing a more keen interest in blockchain space, theorizing what the blockchain or the underlying tech of blockchain could be used for in the future. And so that led me to Gala Games. And from there, as we sort of ventured into music and film, I think that the next more obvious sort of broken industry was definitely the film industry. And so here I am trying to sort of reshape what the creator fan experience could look like in terms of content consumption, viewership, and just artist control. So, you know, it absolutely, yeah. So to answer your question, it absolutely is a major pivot from consulting to Web3, but it's one that's been made quite easy because I've simply just been on a path of, you know, trying to tap into the curiosity that I have with this technology and how it could reshape the future of how we interact with the digital world.
That's very cool. Yeah. I mean, from my consulting days, there's Gantt charts, and I, at one point in my life, I was a PMP, and I just laugh at the idea of having like a detailed 12-month project plan when it comes to Web3. But I like this world a lot better. It's a lot more fun and more realistic, where, you know, pretty much you're creating the project plan as you go. But totally. At the same time, there's unlimited possibilities for creativity without so much bureaucracy, right?
Yeah, I think it's an ever evolving space. You know, you hear the phrase "you're still early" quite a bit in sort of the crypto and the blockchain space, especially in Web3. And while, you know, it's kind of a cliche saying, I think the practical use cases of the blockchain, where mainstream people use the features of the blockchain without realizing they're interacting with the blockchain, are still sort of, I wouldn't say ways out, they're being developed constantly. So in terms of, you know, the shift in the world from consulting, where it's a lot more structured, and, you know, it's a bit archaic at times, especially working at places like IBM, you know, no mean to diss them, to this space where we're sort of trailblazing the path in defining what the future of this space could look like. So absolutely a lot more exciting than some of my experiences in my past life.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I like that transition from 2018 to 2020 and the gaming side of those assets really speaking to you, like, I see where these use cases can be. I definitely saw that as well. I also got into the space around 2018. And it's been really awesome to see, you know, with you being part of Gala and just seeing all the new things that have come since games, right? So film, music, everything else. But today we get to talk about film, and I've been excited to talk about film for a while. And, you know, you're starting to break down some of the traditional barriers in the film entertainment with free, high quality content. And one of the ways that you're doing that is from your watch to earn model. So can you kind of like tell us a little bit more of like, how does that fundamentally change viewers' experience compared to traditional film platforms?
Sure. I think it begins with verifiable ownership. With games, it's a bit more of an obvious use case. It's like, you know, you earn things in a game and you get to keep. With content, it's a little bit different because I think most people assume, you know, when they're paying for a subscription on Netflix or watching something on Amazon Prime, they get to own the content because they've paid for a subscription. They get to see it whenever they want. In real life, when you own something, you don't just get to consume it. You get to use it the way you want to use it, meaning you should be rewarded for it. You should be able to gift it. You should be able to trade it. You should be able to interact with it the way you want, similar to how we do with physical objects in the real world. So the sort of underlying premise for the proposition of Gala Film is content ownership and content hosting. So in Gala Film, we have distributed ownership of the content on chain. So if, you know, we release a piece of media like David Bianchi will do on April 14th, shout out to our launch date then, people will be able to come in, own moments and scenes from that series. And as other people come and watch it, they get rewarded for it, you know, in our native utility token in Gala Film. So the idea that, you know, you get to own what you watch, what you love, and what you believe is the next thing that people are going to watch, you get to engage with that content in a much deeper way. So whereas in the past, you know, you might watch something and you think it'll be quite successful. On Netflix, for example, you know, you'll watch a series and you'll love it, but you'll never get to truly benefit from that series being successful. In Gala Film, as we have, you know, content ownership, you can own pieces of the film, of the series. And as other people consume it, as viewership rises, as popularity is gained in that piece of content, you are a direct beneficiary. So ultimately, it aligns the incentives of the artist who is creating compelling content and the viewers and sort of these meta entrepreneurs who believe that this content or this artist will be sort of next up. And so they'll own pieces of that content. And obviously, for people that just want to consume content, view it, watch it, as they do with other platforms, you'll always be able to come in and watch some compelling content for free. So I think from a watch to earn model, this is where we're fundamentally different. I can break down sort of the core proposition areas, but I think this sort of lays the ground, the fundamentals here.
Yeah, it's a major shift in the concept of film and TV consumption, right? There, people have done things like this in gaming. And of course, I think there's always been this desire with sports to figure out how to gamify fan loyalty. And we do that through fantasy sports and whatnot. But film and music are two areas where there's a massive amount of love and loyalty and appreciation for these art forms, where it's just natural that this type of option would be there. And, you know, we've had a bird's eye seat at this process because David is a good friend of ours, and we see each other in LA a lot, and I've been sort of following his journey. I was at the initial reveal of the reading of the script, which was really exciting. And then we just had a chance to host with our friends at Sandbox early screening of one of the episodes of Razor, the show you mentioned. I'm curious what feedback you heard from David and around the crowd. You know, I don't want to bias the conversation by what I heard. My girlfriend did have a chance to go. I was out of town, unfortunately. I would have been there 100%. But what has been the reaction from folks that have sort of experienced this or begin to sort of unpack this for the first time?
Yeah, I actually haven't had the pleasure of having a direct conversation with David since this event, but I know David to be, speaking of trailblazers, he is absolutely a trailblazer in this space. He is somebody who understands how this technology could be leveraged to sort of give that power to both the creative and the fan. And so, you know, hearing and seeing David's sort of cinematic appearance in the sandbox is just another example of him sort of taking a path that is a lot less walked and willing to sort of channel new ways of consumption and new ways of connecting with the audience. So, you know, David, I've seen his Razor series, you know, which is going to be coming on Gala Film. I think by the time this podcast is released, it's absolutely exciting. And you know, David is somebody that truly understands how the mass consumption of ownership on chain and viewership and entertainment on chain will change the way, you know, the mainstream user interacts with what they love. So that's kind of my feedback internally. You know, we've heard lots of positive things with the showing, and
Yeah, you guys.
He definitely is
a great partner. And just to clarify, no official relationship yet between Razor and the Sandbox, but Sandbox was gracious enough to host the screening. And from what I gather, you know, it's a very fast-paced series, sort of like these mini cliffhangers that leaves you wanting more, like Da Vinci's Code, for example, where you just get to the end of the chapter and before you know it, you've been like reading for 2 hours and you're like, you're not someone that normally would like read that long, right? So I think that's been sort of the intent of David to design a sort of a very captivating set of short cliffhangers. And I think from what I hear, that's what he's accomplished. I can't wait to watch the whole series.
When you watch the series on Gala Film, I think the Da Vinci was absolutely a good parallel. When you watch the film on Gala Film, you'll get to experience one of the core propositions of the platform, which is you don't just get to consume the content, but you get to explore in the lore and get deeper through unlockable content, which we're calling director cuts. So one of the other core proposition areas in Gala Film is, well, there's four pieces. So there's watching, there's unlocking, there's content ownership through moments, and then there's content hosting through our nodes. But the unlocking piece is basically a way for the most dedicated fans to consume content and dig deeper in it in ways that simply hasn't been possible before. So whatever you find on Razor, you will notice that there's a lot more of it on Gala Film. You know, in the future, if Razor happens to be on a different platform, Gala Film is the place that's going to host all of the unlockable, the deepest, and the richest experience.
Absolutely, and I actually want to lean into that a little bit more because I really like the features that Gala is rolling out with that. And between Gala Film and the film token, obviously that's huge news. But the features around it, I think, are even cooler. So like you have popcorn distribution, the unlockable content that you were just talking about. Like, you kind of just go a little bit deeper into these features and like how does it bring the entire, you know, Gala Film ecosystem together?
Sure. Yeah, the way I like to sort of conceptualize the core proposition areas of Gala Film is watch unbelievable, compelling content for free, unlock deeper lore, and go and get a richer experience for the films and series that you love. Own the content that is that exists on Gala Film and be rewarded for it as other people watch that content. And then hosting, which is more of the infrastructure side. But you know, we don't use centralized servers to host our content. We use a decentralized content delivery system using our nodes, which is they're basically like theaters. So imagine you're a theater owner and you have a bunch of screens in your theater and you get to decide what content is displayed in your showtime. And as that content is watched, you're also rewarded for it. So the core sort of proposition areas, watch, unlock, own through content ownership and host through nodes. And I think these four pieces have an offer for everyone. because we understand that when it comes to entertainment value, not everyone's going to care about the rewards incentives or how the blockchain features changes the way they interact. Because some people will just come in, they want to watch similar to how they watch in other places, and just be wowed by the content. And so there's an offer for that. There's going to be other people that want to dig deeper into that content, and really those, you know, top 5, top 10% of fans for every piece of IP, and they have a path to be able to unlock that content. And there's going to be other people that believe that, you know, the content that they're watching is so compelling that there's an opportunity there. There's, you know, there's rewards to be had for owning that content. So they'll want to own the moments and the scenes for that content. And then, you know, there's the theater and the screen nodes, which is basically, you know, it's kind of a bet on the platform and the viewership of an on-chain platform like Gala Film being successful, in that you have content for free and there are people that want to watch it. And so those four key areas, in my opinion, break down the full proposition. And there's an offer for everyone. People who simply care about the entertainment value, and people who care about the rewards that come with that.
Just a clarifying question there. With the...
And now for a quick word from our sponsor before we dive into the next segment. Are you ready to take your sports predictions to the next level? Look no further than MainCard.io, the fantasy management platform that's taking the blockchain world by storm. With MainCard, every card is a ticket to excitement. You can predict sport outcomes, trade cards in the marketplace, and challenge opponents in thrilling weekly duels. And don't wait. Head to MainCard.io now and start earning rewards with your NFTs, because it pays to be early. And now back to today's episode.
Ability to watch from a node, is it like a movie theater where there's different size theaters where you have to watch a certain set times, or is it a little bit more free flow?
It's absolutely a little bit more free flow. The nodes are, again, much more of an infrastructure side of things. And so maybe not every consumer and every user cares about how that content is distributed. But for people that understand the space and are really sort of decentralization maxis, who know that there's value in having redundancy in how that content is distributed. So it's kind of like a theater in the sense that you are a theater node. Everyone on the Gala Film platform is basically a theater node. How many screens you have in your theater depends on how many nodes you have. And you get to decide the content that's playing in your theater, essentially. And similar to how in a real life movie theater, when people come and watch, you know, you benefit from that. It'll be the same on Gala Film, in a virtual space.
Cool.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I mean, I like the model. I love entertainment. I go and watch, I go to the theaters at least once a week, sometimes twice. And this model is something that I wish could be incorporated into quite a few of the different movies and even the types of new series that are coming out. And I think it's a model that once people see how it can work, will want to be like replicated, and people like myself who would want to go those next steps and really participate, be a part of it. Cause like, I remember when I was like looking at these different dynamics, and even just how you explained it, like it makes a lot of sense to me. And I think a lot of people who aren't necessarily in Web3, but can understand those components, it's a very compelling way to become part of the Gala Film ecosystem.
Yeah, I think one of the important sort of principles that we laid out before venturing into Gala Film was, film is an entertainment space. And we know historically, blockchain introduces a little bit of friction that people don't necessarily care for. And a lot of people don't care that something's on the blockchain, and nor should they. You know, people should care about how a technology or a tool is fundamentally changing or giving them value add. So one of the things that we absolutely made sure of with Gala Film is blockchain's in the background. You don't really know you're interacting with it. If you are a viewer and a consumer of dope content, you'll come in, you'll watch, you'll have an on-chain address, and you won't even know it. You'll be able to own pieces of unlockable content and content from the series. You'll be able to trade it. And the idea is you shouldn't know you're dealing with the friction that historically blockchain is introduced. So,
yeah, no, it totally makes sense, man. I mean, look, when you go to the movies, all you know is like, you know, I got a ticket, I'm going to get some popcorn, I'm going to watch a great film. You don't think about like what's going on in the control tower over there, or how do they manage their ticketing system? You just enjoy the experience, right? And, you know, good movie theaters, it's a seamless experience, if they, especially if they have the really comfy seats. So I'm with you 100%. Let's dive a little bit deeper into this new film token that is part of the Gala ecosystem. Could you be a little bit more specific in terms of what the reward and content monetization mechanisms look like?
Sure. Yeah. So I talked about two sort of key proposition areas, which is content ownership and content hosting. And so the content is actually owned and hosted by a distributed network of people. And as they host something in their theater, they should be rewarded for it, especially if what they're hosting is popular and gets a lot of viewership. And so the emissions for the Gala token are actually based off of this constructive participation, is what we call it. So if you own a node, or if you own, you know, moments and scenes of a piece of content, and that content is viewed, that essentially leads to an emission cycle where every day there's new film token being emitted. Obviously, it has a max supply of 500 million, but the idea is, as you are enabling the existence of this decentralized platform and people are consuming it, you are emitting token and being rewarded for it. So that's sort of the emission side. Obviously, the token has a lot of utility within the Gala Film ecosystem. It's essentially a gateway for film fans, viewers, to one, back new content and have sort of governance in how the future of film is shaped. You're able to pitch concepts of films or back films that other people want to produce. And you're able to connect with your favorite stars through features that are not introduced just yet, but it'll be your gateway to connect with your favorite stars on the screen. So that is sort of the primary utility of the film token, in addition to obviously being able to purchase everything in the Gala Film store, which is, you know, moments and theater nodes. So emissions, you know, you do actions that are beneficial to this ecosystem and the existence of this ecosystem, and utility is a deeper, richer connection with your favorite stars whose content you're consuming.
Through doing this, you're really empowering a lot of the end consumers, a lot of the people who are coming and enjoying and supporting these film projects. So what impact do you think, like, the film token and how all of this ecosystem is being built is going to impact the film industry and creators who are in this space?
Yeah, I think the concept that comes to mind is aligned incentives. I think historically, you know, artists have been handcuffed a little bit in their creativity and the control that they have in producing the content that they want. And viewers have been limited to just consumption of that content. And so the aligned incentives is, you know, if I'm an artist and I want to release a film or a series on this platform, I am allowing others, strangers, fans, to have ownership and sort of be a stakeholder in the success of my piece of content. So the aligned incentives, in my opinion, create a type of network effect that hasn't been seen before. Because now if you own a moment from, let's say, Razer, all of a sudden you're not just a fan of Razer, but you're sort of an ambassador of Razer. You want viewership of that of Razer, right? So where in the past you might just be spreading word of mouth, sharing it with your friends and family, now you're sort of that meta entrepreneur, an advertiser, an ambassador of that content. So the incentive is, as a fan, you want this to be as successful as the artist who put that together. And so historically, we haven't had that. The success has always been for the middlemen, for the likes of Netflix. I hate to keep throwing them under the bus, but, you know, if something is successful, the middle intermediary is the one that's benefiting, not the fan, and a lot of times not the artist. So in my opinion, the aligned incentives of Web3 and ownership on chain for entertainment, that's sort of the key feature.
Yeah, it beats just getting some bonus points for a popcorn next time you go to the theater, right? Or yeah. You know, saving a dollar on the ticketing fee. We're talking a lot more reward mechanisms moving forward than have been available. And you know, people have done crowdsourcing of film and whatnot. I remember actually a roommate of mine talked about wanting to do this 7 years ago, but these mechanisms weren't available, and they just sort of make this type of potential that much more contagious and you know, amplified. So pretty exciting stuff. I know there's a lot more cooking than just Razor. So I'm curious, what are some of the other film projects you have slated for this year? And how do you go about choosing projects in terms of genres? I'm curious if it's across the whole board, if you think certain genres might be a little bit more adaptable to this format.
Yeah, I think being sort of a young company, our process and how we select and curate, we want to work with the hungriest creatives. And you'll notice that with Razor and some of the other pieces of content we have coming up. We want to work with artists who have a vision and they believe that we're able to enable them to execute their vision. So some of the other pieces of content we have or series and IPs, we have Ghost of Ruin, we have Almost Jaded, and there's quite a few that I don't think I can speak to just yet. But I think by the end of the year, you'll find that, you know, we have a suite or a library of content that all sort of user types are going to want to come and engage with.
So the goal is a whole mix of genres that would appeal Absolutely. To the different audiences and different age ranges.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Razor being sort of the first release, there's going to be a lot that we're testing, that we're looking out for, measuring user engagement, retention. And based on that, I think we will use, you know, data and wisdom of the crowd to determine what type of content people really love. Of course, there's an audience for all types of genres. And initially, you know, that was our goal, you know, introduce all types of genres, and get as much viewership as possible. And I don't think that changes anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm personally excited for what's to come with those different shows and everything else that's going to be released just with Razor. Like if that's one of the first that's coming out and how awesome that looks, like I imagine the rest of them are going to be pretty spectacular as well. But on the subject of what does the rest of 2024 look like, you know, would love to hear some of the roadmap that Gala Film kind of has for the rest of the year that you can share with us. And for people listening, what are some things that they can be excited about or be looking forward to next?
Yeah, so I think April 14th is when we have an official launch of our platform, obviously premiering with Razor. Soon after that, we'll have Ghost of Ruin, which is an animated special. We have Almost Jaded, which is a comedy special by Barry Brewer. Hilarious. I've had the pleasure of already seeing it. And from a product and a platform perspective, you know, we're launching our token, the utility token for Gala Film around June timeframe. So I think that's an important bold beat that people can mark in their calendars. And then after that, we're introducing this feature that we're calling Pitches, which is in a very simplified manner, it's a wisdom of the crowd, sort of crowdfunding way of creatives, fans, viewers to shape the future of film by voting and backing the type of content that other people are envisioning. So, you know, we have the features feature, we have a token launch, obviously we have a platform launch in April. And then we're introducing this concept of user levels, which is a user progression system. So every user is going to start off at a level on Gala Film, and depending on the type of actions in their interactions with the platform, their viewership, the amount of content they unlock, the, you know, the number of mystery boxes they own, the content that they own. Depending on that, they will sort of have this progression path where they could level up from, you know, a fan to a movie buff, to an influencer. So we're gamifying the way people interact with the platform and sort of level up their journey within the Gala Film ecosystem. So those are, I would say, the important features for 2024 for sure.
Nice. Well, really exciting stuff, and really appreciate you taking some time to unpack what's in, to come for Gala Film. I know I'm excited. Richard and I love watching movies and talking about shows, so we'll be tuned in to all these projects. How can our listeners find you and learn more about what's to come with Gala Film?
Yeah, absolutely. Go follow Go Gala Films on Twitter or X. You know, we have our own sort of news funnel for Gala News, and you'll be able to keep up with all the wonderful stuff we're doing across Gala, but more especially for Gala Film. I think it's a name people will be hearing quite a bit, so I definitely encourage people to sort of get in on the ground floor in the sense of appreciating sort of the next frontier in film and in the Web3 space.
All right. Well, that sounds amazing. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much, both Josh and Richard.
We've reached the utter limit at the edge of NFT for today. Thanks for exploring with us. We've got space for more adventures on the Starship. So invite your friends and recruit some cool strangers. They'll make this journey all so much better. How? If you're listening, go to Spotify or iTunes right now. Rate us and say something awesome. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, join over 100,000 other followers by hitting the subscribe button and passing this episode on to a friend or two. Lastly, be sure to tune in next time for more great NFT content. Thanks again for sharing this time with us today.
The views and opinions expressed on Edge of NFT reflect solely those views and opinions of the show hosts and its guests. Please make sure to do your own research. Our show is not financial advice. You understand that you are using any and all information available on or through this podcast at your own risk. Whenever making financial decisions, we recommend doing your own research and talking to your accountant for financial advice. From time to time, we may feature sponsored content on the show for which we receive value, and we may share links for which we receive a commission if you make a purchase through one of those links. Refer to our website, www.edgeofnft.com, for our full disclaimer, terms and conditions, and privacy policy.